Hello and welcome to Inside the School District, a weekly discussion providing you with relevant news, recent developments, and must-have information about what's happening inside the Mat-Su School District.
Good morning. This is Jillian Morrissey, and I'm the Public Information Officer for the Mat-Su Borough School District. And we're into the third week of school, which is very exciting. And today on our show, I have two special guests in the studio with me. And I'm excited because we're actually going to be talking a little bit about relationships and partnerships that the school district has with community organizations today, and specifically with Chickaloon and also with Mat-Su Health Foundation. So in the studio, I have Lisa Wade with Chickaloon. I also have Desiree Shepler with Mat-Su Health Foundation, Rock Mat-Su. And we are going to talk a little bit about, there's been a training going on this week. It's been up at Government Peak Chalet, and there have been community members from around the valley talking about some really difficult issues and talking about things that mean a lot to the community and to our community partners and to the school district. And there have been several of us that are participating. So I just wanted to welcome Lisa and welcome Desiree into the studio.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
So first, I wanted to start with, tell me about a little bit about your organization and who you are and what you do. Desiree, you want to start?
Sure. So Rock Mat-Su is Raising Our Children with Kindness Mat-Su. We are a cross-sector partnership working to promote resilient families and end child abuse here in the Mat-Su Borough. So we're made up of over 32 partners. 18 of the original partners are still with us that created Rock Mat-Su, and Lisa is one of those original partners that helped us to grow as an organization.
And I work for Chickaloon Village Traditional Council. I am the Health, Education, and Social Services Director. I get the privilege every day of participating in the Oneidaha Tribal School. So some of the issues that we're talking about in this training are really relevant to us.
Excellent. So I want to dive into the idea of relationships, because I've realized here in living in this community is that that's really how we get a lot of things done, is when we work together across different missions sometimes, and just really pulling together and wrapping our heads around things. So Rock Mat-Su and Chickaloon partnered together to bring the People's Institute into the valley here. And so I wanted to talk about, how did this happen? How did the training and that partnership to bring this forward come about?
Sure. So when Rock Mat-Su was being created and we were trying to identify, you know, this is a really complex social problem. Like, child abuse prevention is not something that one organization or sector can solve alone. And so we started working together and trying to figure out, what are the issues in the world of child abuse prevention and promoting resilient families that are big enough for us to take on together? And there's one issue that we see that underlies all of the work that we do, and that's this issue of systemic racism and the ways that, different families are impacted in different ways by the systems set out to serve them. So we started talking about what it would look like to tackle this together, and through some conversations and exploring different options, really identified that using the People's Institute for Survival and Beyond training was what we saw as the first step to creating this culture of change that we needed in order to really improve the lives of all families here in Mat-Su.
Yeah, and for us, at the same time this partnership was developing, there was a lot of information being shared about adverse childhood experiences.
Oh.
And one of the things that our tribe quickly realized is that within that framework of how it was being shared, there wasn't really room for a discussion around equity or social justice. And so it became sort of this place where we could connect up and say, you know, this is something that's very real for people of color that we're not looking at when we're talking about health impacts to people. And so it just became a really good natural fit for us to engage in this work and to try and partner up to really make some change around something that was really becoming very prevalent in I guess, the zeitgeist of Alaska.
Mm-hmm. One of the things, I work really closely with the superintendent. We spend a lot of time going out and talking to different community councils or chambers or Rotary clubs and other social organizations that are interested in finding more about the district. And one of the things the superintendent spends a lot of time talking about is the poverty increase in the valley. And over in the last 13 years, it's gone up. It's gone from in the low 30s all the way up to 44%.
Wow.
And so one of the things that she talks a lot about in within the school district is how that is so much a part of our experience every day. For our teachers, for our support staff, for our principals, our administrators, is that young people are coming in with adverse childhood experiences. Some kids without just basic necessities, that Maslow's hierarchy of needs. So how do we get to that point of academic achievement when we need to start there? So I've been struck by how much talking about those things with the superintendent and experiencing this training, how much is woven together.
Mm-hmm.
Could you talk a little bit, Lisa, actually, about adverse childhood experiences and what that is and why it's so important to this work?
So, actually, Desiree is the expert on the study, but what I'll sum it up to say, because I don't think we have that much time to go into it, is that there is research out there, and it's validated research, that the things that we experience in childhood will have impacts to us later on in life. And it can include things like shortening your lifespan. And you brought up a point, I think, that I'd like to address about this poverty in our community. And I think it's even bigger than that. Like, we need to really start looking at, in terms of the school district, of the people that are moving into our community. You know, we're growing at this unprecedented rate in this community. And the issues that people that are moving here, you know, we haven't really looked at where they're coming from and what their experiences have been and how they're integrating into our community. So it's a much more complex issue than just saying we need to look at poverty.
Mm-hmm. Did you want to add anything, Desiree?
I guess the one thing I would add is, you know, we are doing these undoing racism trainings, and so the one that's happening this week is actually the first time we're trying this revised model, because what undoing racism does for you is it gives you this different lens through which to view the world. And so it's really, you know, the first time you participate in this training, your homework afterwards is to spend months thinking about what you've learned, and you kind of, you know, this is my fourth one, and I find that every time I find new ways to incorporate that information into the world around me. But it's also part of this bigger push for us to do lots of different kinds of work. So this is the first time that we'll have an and/or dialogue at the end. So today, for day three, the First Alaskans Institute is coming to do an Advancing Native Dialogues on Racial Equity dialogue, with an eye toward moving us beyond that place of just contemplating the information to what can we do with it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, oh, go ahead, Lisa.
Oh, I was just going to say, and why that's important is that there's an invisibility factor for a lot of people that live in this community. We have over 10,000 Alaska Native people that live in the Mat-Su Borough here, mm-hmm, that largely go unrecognized in demographics and planning and leadership, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So people might ask, why and/or dialogue? Why did you choose that? And that's right. Why I wanted to address that.
Yes. Well, and we've been really lucky that the People's Institute has worked with us to allow our local tribes to do a bit of sharing about their own experiences as tribes with white contact and coming into the valley and what it means for them that this is their indigenous and traditional lands. But we're also seeing this work as fitting into a larger body of work where we're trying to find ways to support nonprofit and business leaders in the community in taking this and actually transforming their organizations and the systems that they're a part of to change. So not just contemplating the issue, but doing the work that we at Rock Met Sioux consistently do of envisioning the future that we want our community to live in and then helping to make that happen. So we also see it fitting in with our work with the school district, the work around helping to create trauma-informed schools.
Mm-hmm.
Part of being a trauma-informed school, which is more you know, more amenable to learning for children with ACEs and who come from poverty, but really creates an environment that all children learn well in. part of that is understanding this piece of racism and systemic racism and the way that education has traditionally supported these inequities for children of color.
This is Jillian Morrissey. I'm the public information officer for the Matsubara School District. And we're focusing on partnerships that the school district and relationships the school district has with folks in the Valley that are working on important things. And one, today we have Chickaloon and also Matsu Health Foundation, Rock Matsu, in the studio. One of the things that there's a lot of access points now for people to get more information about things like ACEs. It was, you know, one of the things that I know I'm also new to K-12 education. There's a lot of acronyms. Mm-hmm. And coming from the nonprofit world myself, where there's also a lot of acronyms, trying to understand those things. And so the adverse childhood experiences, there are actually two free workshops coming up, I believe, for parents, September 13th and September 20th. And folks can visit, I believe Matsu Health Foundation has information up on their website, and the district also does as well. So if you want to find out more about that. I want to go back to the training a little bit that's happening. So you mentioned before, I think this is the fourth one, is that?
This is the third one to happen here in Matsu.
When did the first one come up? When did that happen?
Over a year ago, okay. Year and a half perhaps. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I want to say about this is this topic of racism, just to say the word racism, is so loaded that people choose not to engage in even having a conversation. Mm-hmm. This training isn't about supporting the one side or the other side. It's really about giving us some definitions from which we can have a conversation. You know, it's not about going in and saying white people are bad and wrong and horrible. And what it is it's a way of getting people that attend the training to really take a look at how they are living in the world and how they're supporting these structures that perhaps are not contributing to equitable living situations or the way people of color are moving through the world. So it's a very important dialogue. It's challenging, but I think it's a really good framework for having some difficult conversations. And I'm really impressed. This is my third in the Matsu that I've attended. What I'm impressed and struck by is that I see people that come in with arms folded and really resistant to having this conversation, to taking a look inside of themselves or their belief systems, and just doing that self-reflection over 3 days and coming to the end of it and having them having some kind of an awareness that they want more. They want to learn more. They want to have a deeper understanding of our connections to each other as humans and humanity.
I was really interested in hearing how there's about 30 or 40 of us. Is that about right?
Yeah, I think 37 this
And
training?
That's been, is that consistent so far?
Yes.
For each training? Because we have listeners right now that might be, I want to know more about that. That's a conversation I want to be a part of, or just want to understand more about it. How are people accessing these workshops, and how are there invites, or how does that happen?
So traditionally we have, for the first three, we were kind of careful and tried to figure out, you know, is there a sector we want to target more than others, or who do we want to get these invitations out to, because they are limited. What we've realized is, again, if we're going to create that culture change, we need to kind of stop focusing just on professionals. So we have a training coming in November. It will be November 15, 16, 17, which is a Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And we're actually going to have stipends for community members who want to attend. So we recognize that there are professionals in the room who are getting paid to be there, but that not everybody has a job that they can do this as a part of their work, and we want to treat them the same way as the professionals in the room. So if community members are interested, we will have stipends available. They can look on the Rock Matsu Facebook page, or they can email me through Rock Matsu, and my email information is on the Health Foundation website. And let us know that they're interested, and we can make sure to get invitations out to them.
So today you mentioned, so we've had 2 days of looking at exactly what those structures are and how that operates. And we're talking about how today is about, what did you say? It was the
and or dialogue.
And so tell me about what today is supposed to look like and how that carries us into the future.
So my understanding for today is that we will engage in conversation. It will be a little less about just learning the information and more about having conversations about what we see and the worlds that we intersect with and how we can, again, start that envisioning for the future.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have left the last 2 trainings really with this thirst for now what? I want to do something.
Right, you have a lot of problem solvers and fixers.
Right. Yeah, and so, you know, part of this is that we ask people just to sit with it and just live with it. Mm-hmm. I really like how people were describing it yesterday as they're just really sitting with their discomfort. And that was really powerful. You know, people are learning things that they never were taught. You know, our history is designed, or, you know, even when we design research, we're designing it from a perspective. So people are being shown different perspectives, not one perspective, multiple. And there is shared experience in the room, too, that is also guiding. So it doesn't, none of these trainings come out the same way. But what they seem to come out with is a thirst for wanting to do more. And so we want to encourage that. You know, we want to foster that through this dialogue today about, you know, how can you take what you've learned, sit with it, and really do more research, more learning, more reaching out and proximity to people that you're not typically comfortable being around. Because a lot of people will say, I don't feel comfortable going into the Chickaloon environment. I don't know if I'll be welcome. I don't know. You know, and we always say, come, you know, be with us. You know, we have open invites for everything. So we're inviting people to dive into proximity with each other. But also this dialogue today will break into groups and do a lot more, you know, what are next steps that you might be able to take in your own life, personal, professional, whatever. And then just giving people some more ways to look at the topic of racism.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I appreciate about the facilitation so much is for a lot of folks, this is maybe the first time they've ever been asked how they feel or have they ever looked at things in a different perspective. And that can be scary. It's a vulnerability, and especially in close proximity of community members, that you're not sure how what your feelings or your thoughts or your beliefs will be taken. So one thing that I think is really important, and it's one of those things that I hope that can always continue to be models, creating those safe places for these conversations. And I really feel that that's something that has been very, I have felt that as a participant throughout, and that I hope that that's, if nothing else, for everyone that moves forward, creating those safe places for these important conversations.
That is a conversation we're currently having is, you know, maybe that's enough. Maybe what we need to do through Rock Metsu is just create space for these conversations to continue. You know, we at Rock Metsu don't perceive that we're the experts on anything. Our job is to bring people together and let the you know, community come together and create community solutions. So we are looking at what it could look like in the future just to have safe spaces. Maybe we host a lunch once a month or something where people can come and just talk about this as they incorporate this information into their world and, you know, have different experiences and run into different ways to use this information.
Is there any last things that you would like to add just about the training that's happening or the next steps inside your own entities moving forward?
I guess that I feel a lot of gratitude. I feel a lot of gratitude for the partnerships, the people sitting in the room that are part of Rock Metsu, that are contributing to building this healthier community that we're living in and that we're raising children in. And, you know, this training is one piece of that. There's so much more work that we can do together. Mm-hmm. And I would encourage people to get involved. Like, even if you don't know your place, reach out to Rock Metsu, because there is enough work to be done in community building for every single one of us to contribute to.
Yeah. Desiree, do you want to just share what your website is, just so folks can find you online? Or
So we are in the midst of putting up our own web page, but we are still linked through the Health Foundation web page. So that's healthymatsu.org.
Excellent. Lisa, Desiree, thank you so much for coming in. I appreciate the work that you do and spending some time with us, helping us learn more.
Yes, thank you.
Tune in.
You've been listening to Inside the School District, a weekly discussion providing you with information about what's happening in the Mat-Su schools, moderated by Mike Malevsky. This program is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, the station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.